I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast.
Hi, church. It's so great to be here to bring this word to you today. It's one of my most favorite messages and topics of all. It's called Extreme Love. And so if you're a first time in church today, welcome. You're so welcome in our C3 churches. And if you've been away and are coming back, hey, so good to have you back. And if you're a regular, well, why don't you just turn to somebody today and give them a big hug and say, it's great to see you in the house of God today as we come around the Word of God. Hallelujah. Well, you know, this message called Extreme Love, I feel is like a life message. It's one, I have a few life messages, but this one is very close to my heart because really it's because it's how I met Jesus. It was through the extreme love of others inviting us into the house of God so many years ago. Oh my gosh, if I said how many years ago, you'd be shocked because you're like, she cannot be that old. But anyway, in 1971, my boyfriend and I, we walked through the doors of this little church in Christchurch. It was winter. We were seeking truth. We were so lost. And we walked through the doors of the house of God and felt this electric atmosphere. Now, I don't know about you, but way back there in the 70s, we were into vibes, good vibes and bad vibes. And we'd known bad vibes. And when we walked into this atmosphere, which was just the foyer, it was just the welcome area of this little wee church, Phil squeezed my hand and said, good vibes, babe. And in my heart, I said these words, I'm home. I didn't even know where I was. I did not even realize I had walked into a Christian church. But you know what? Through the extreme love and listening ear of a brand new Christian, she heard about us. She heard on the grapevine, oh, there's this guy at art school. He's freaking out. He's got a girlfriend. Oh, and she overheard that conversation. She rang us back and said, I know somebody who can help you. See, extreme love doesn't happen just like, it has in biblical history, an angel coming into the room. But generally, extreme love is displayed through us, through humans. And this little lady rang us back and said, I know somebody. I know some people who can really help you. We ended up biking through the streets of Christchurch on a cold winter's Sunday night and stopped outside this, well, it looked like a hall to me. And on the steps stood this little lady and she smiled and she said, hi, you must be that boy. And Phil said, yeah, I guess I am, you know, peace man. He was a bit of a hippie, gorgeous hippie. So she took us by the arm and led us into the church. And that's where we experienced for the first time those good vibes, which turned out to be the presence of God. And so for me, the very beginning of everything that we are as a C3 church happens at that moment of welcome, where somebody invites us in to the house of God just through their own kindness. Do you know, I have to tell you something, in case you don't realize it. Human kindness is underrated. Everybody wants to be great. Everybody wants to be known. They want to be famous. You know, they want to have a million viewers on Instagram or whatever, or TikTok. But do you know what? To be good is better than being great. Goodness and being a kind person endures for a lifetime. And in this message, we're going to have a look at some wonderful stories in the Bible where this human kindness through Christ and through others is just displayed. And so you ready? Are you ready? I'm ready. So Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30 is a very well-known scripture. And it says this, that he who wins souls is wise. But the Amplified Bible says this, he who is wise captures human lives. Isn't that beautiful? So we are people who are to capture people with our kindness and our love. We are to captivate humanity, not alienate them. Now look, in this world, there are many things going on in this world, across the globe, in every nation, and it will affect. You will see it on the news. You will see it in your political realm in your different nations. And everyone's got an opinion. But you know what? To win humanity, sometimes you've just got to put our personal opinion aside to win people. And I would much rather win a person's heart than win an argument. And so we want to captivate humanity. It's such a great scripture. And I want you to think, what could I do this week to win somebody? What kind act could I possibly do? Just simple things. Like when I think of that little lady on the steps, her name was May Hancock. Everybody needs the kindness of a May Hancock. She led us in. She led us down to the pews. She sat just behind us in the pews. When the offering came around, it was one of those open plates. Oh, Phil was, we were looking, we didn't have any money on us. And she nudged a coin, 20 cents, into Phil's hand for us to put on the plate so we wouldn't be embarrassed. Oh, kindness. And that night we gave our hearts to Christ. And oh, it's a long story and I'll tell it another time, but you know, we were living together and we went to see the pastor and he said, well, separate and maybe think about getting married. Phil turned to me in that pastor's little office. Here was my fabulous proposal girls. Wasn't the helicopter, wasn't rose petals coming down, it wasn't candles to the beach, you know, on a rug and everything. He just turned to me and said, how about it, babe? And that was it. We decided to get married. That little woman, May Hancock, invited me for tea, she said, to her house. And I came in and she said, what are you going to wear for the wedding? I went, oh, I was a hippie. I said, oh, I'll probably just go down to, you know, the op shop and get an old satin nightie and do it up. And she said, come with me. She took me into this room. I had no idea. She was a seamstress, like a really good one. All these bolts of material were from the ceiling to the floor. And she said, what did you have in mind? And I said, oh, something simple with maybe a little hood. She went, just a minute. She pulled down this bolt of material. It was sort of like cream crepe. And she rolled it out and she said, okay. She got out the draft paper with a pen and she started drawing this amazing little dress. She said, what about that? I went, that's awesome. She made my dress. When I went for the fitting the next week, I sat on one of those things, you know, like, you know, the bride thing. And she said, come into the kitchen. And she had a bowl on the kitchen table and it had the dough and all the fruit for like a Christmas cake. And I kept thinking, oh gosh, she's making Christmas cake really early. It was August. She said, here, take the wooden spoon. I went, oh, yes. She said, stir it. So I stirred it. And she said, every bride should have a wedding cake and she must stir it for good luck. Oh, extreme love, extreme kindness. You know, May would never know how much that affected me in my philosophy, in my Christian life, because she just affected me so much with her kindness that it opened my eyes to, you know, we live in a society where it's my iPhone, my iPad, me, my eye. My eyes were open to people on out beyond my own life, to they, to them, to you. And she opened my eyes, and I believe that Jesus opens our eyes. I mean, her eyes were opened by Christ. She was a baby Christian, and she saw us. She saw me, she saw what she could do. What could I possibly do to help this young couple? And she her love captivated me to Christ. Her love became the extension of who I was to be in the future in my Christian expression. And the Word of God is full of this expression. In fact, in John 3, verse 16 to 17, in the Amplified Bible says this, it's a very well-known scripture, "For God so loved. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten unique son, so that whoever believes in and trusts and clings and relies on him shall not perish or come to destruction or be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life." Verse 17, "For God did not send the Son into the world in order to judge or reject or to condemn or to pass sentence on." How about that? We're not to pass sentence on others, but we're to show this extreme love of God that Jesus here is talking about, "but that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through him." See, May's invitation all those years ago helped me step into the beauty of the house of God, of the local church, and there, wrapped in that kindness and with her eyes open to see us, our hearts were opened and we met Jesus. And this is who we are.
Hey everyone, I believe in the local church. Ever since we started our church way back in 1980, we've been planting churches all around the world, in major cities, villages, towns, and we have seen ourselves plant churches now in over 60 nations in the earth. Last year, we planned to plant 20 churches, and we ended up planting 45. This year, we're going to plant another 42 churches. I'd like to invite you to become a partner with us in this grand plan that God has called us to, planting his magnificent church all around the world. It's not an inexpensive exercise to plant churches. It costs a lot to support pastors when they're just starting out, and their families and their structures, their circumstances, renting houses, needing a car. And in some of these places, they're very poor. And we want to help them rise up and plant great churches in their nations. You can help us by jumping over to our website, C3 Church Global, and there you will find a giving section. And you can give towards helping us plant churches all around the world. I'm praying for you that as you give, the blessing of God will rest upon your life in abundance. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
This is who you and I are in this day and age when everybody's rushing past, you know, on the iPhone. You see people out for dinner. Nobody's talking. They're all on their iPhones. Put them down and look around and see others. You know, the other day, Phil and I were out. We were in Orange County, and we went into this little cafe to have coffee before we were doing something. And Phil went to the men's room, and I noticed this older lady. She was very well dressed, and she was like just trotting. She was like doing a circle around the cafe, and she was beautifully dressed. And on like the second round, I called out to her, and I said, "Well, are you lost? What are you doing?" She said, "I'm following my great-grandchild, just following around." And I said, "Oh, well, you look terrific." The next time she came around, she came up to the table and she extended her hand and she said, "Hello, I like you. My name's Shirley." And it was just such a simple thing to notice others. I mean, that's who we are. We are the people of God who see others and seize that moment. Now, that's as far as it went. And I'm like, I'm going to probably bump into that woman again when I'm back in OC, and I'll be able to say, "Hi, Shirley," remember her name, and say, "Hey, I just wondered, I'm a pastor. You know, is there anything I can pray for you in your life?" Who knows? You just open the conversation and let it be natural. See, Our expression of Christianity is not to be religious. It should come naturally out of our hearts. And so, beautiful. The Message Bible says this. This is how much God loved the world. He gave His Son, His one and only Son. And this is why. So that no one need be destroyed. By believing in Him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending His Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help to put the world together again. Don't you love that? When the news is saying you must have your opinion and I disagree with you and who do you think you are and everything, our task is to have heart and eyes aligned with the beautiful, extreme love of heaven to say, you know what, I might have an opinion, but I'm going to focus on loving that person and asking that question. In fact, this is probably one of the most powerful questions you can ask somebody. It's five words, I think. How can I help you? How can I help you? Yes, it's five words indeed. How can I help you? People are just so alone and they're needing someone to come and put that arm of the big hug around them into their life. So extend that big hug to everyone you meet. You never know who you are meeting. In fact, I don't have time to go into it, but the story does go that many years ago, when Mahatma Gandhi was in a search for truth and for God, he endeavoured, when he was a lawyer in South Africa, to go to church. He wanted to know more about this Jesus. And you know what happened at the door? He was blocked. He was called bad names. And he was not allowed in. He wasn't dressed in his, you know, Gandhi clothes. He was a lawyer in a suit. An educated man, but he was refused entry through the doors of the house of God, the very opposite to May Hancock in our life. And you know what he eventually said? He was asked many years later, Mr. Gandhi, though you quote the words of Christ often, why is it that you appear to so adamantly reject becoming his follower? And Gandhi replied, oh, I don't reject your Christ. I love your Christ. It's just that so many of you Christians are so unlike your Christ. Oh, when I heard that, my heart broke. To think that Gandhi could have been a great spokesperson for Christ. He loved the words of Christ, but he did not see the extreme love of Christians. And so he rejected Christianity, as you know. And I think that day that Jesus wept, that he would have embraced him, invited him to sit at the table and loved him and won him. So we need a revolution of love, my dear friends. We need, you know, if love never fails, that's another scripture. 1 Corinthians 13:8, love never fails. Or the Passion Translation says this, love never stops loving. Oh, that's a hard one. Oh, how many times you just want to... But bite your tongue and love. Love anyway. Pay the cost that love demands of us. When you don't want to love, when you say, I won't love, then choose to love and say, I want to do it the Jesus way. And here's another scripture, John 1:14, where it's talking about Jesus, the Word, Jesus. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory. Oh, I just love this scripture. Flesh and blood, human, the one of a kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. That's in the Message paraphrase. Oh, Lord, that we would become little units of love and kindness and flesh and blood into our neighborhoods. You know, I love that. Jesus is not asking you or I to go out and save the world. He's asking us to love those in our very sphere of our lives Remember that Sesame Street thing? Who are the people in your neighborhood? The people that you meet each day. And so, yeah, even Jesus said, I pray not for the world, but for those that you have given me. The people that God has given us are in our everyday lives. And so can I encourage you to slow down and to look and to notice the people around you and to remember if you, like people say, oh, I don't know how to witness to someone. Oh, I'm just so shy. You can say those five words. Hey, I've been thinking of you. How can I help you? And it might be a cup of tea. You might go for a walk with them. You might invite them into your house. You might say, we've got great services, special services coming up, Easter, Christmas, whatever. And you could say, I would like to bring you. And would you be my guest? Or would you come to my house group? Oh, there's so many ways. Or just to notice somebody and say, hey, I've noticed that you're sitting all by yourself in the cafe. May I come and join you? Simple, simple things like this. And so generous inside, that's our devotional life. We love the Lord, we love his house, we love his people. But let's just look outside a bit more. Extreme love, yes, first to the household of faith. But our churches will not grow if we don't reach out. And there are people all around our everyday lives who are just waiting to be invited into the table where Jesus is. Think of Zacchaeus. See, people are more hungry than we think they are. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, and he was up that tree. Luke 19, 1 to 10. I got to read this one. Oh, my gosh. Jesus entered and walked through Jericho. There was a man there. His name was Zacchaeus, the head tax man, and quite rich. So, hello, you know, he was important. He wanted desperately to see Jesus, but the crowd was in his way. He was a short man and couldn't see. So I'm going to just paraphrase it a bit more. So he's up the tree, and when Jesus got to the tree, he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, hurry down, man. Today is my day to be a guest at your house. Zacchaeus scrambled out of the tree, hardly believing his good luck. Oh, he was delighted to take Jesus home with him. Listen to this. Everyone who saw this incident was indignant and grumped. What business does he have getting cozy with this man? Listen, good people, sinners. Bad people, good people, sinners. There are Zacchaeuses out there. There are people that are just hungry for the meaning of life, and it's your hands and your feet, my hands and my feet, that are going to reach out to them. Jesus said these words to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, I see who you are right now, but I also see who you were born to be. You were born to be a son of Abraham. Verse 9, Jesus said, today is salvation. Come to this home. Here he is, Zacchaeus, a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to find and restore that which is lost. This is the true expression of the extreme love of God. So friends, I'm closing here. Please be inspired today by this message to love one another and to extend that arm of love and kindness and extreme love and mercy to those around you. So I love you, church. God bless you.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you. Throughout the year, around the world, and our regional gatherings are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com. See you again soon.